We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go.
Afternoons on the Score.
The officials swung the outcome way too much last night.
That's a horrible missed call.
Boomer Esiason.
There were so many flags at the end of the game that it's actually ruining the game.
The referee gets on television. His wife is sitting at home. She's so proud of him. They're ruining the game.
You gotta be kidding.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
It's something that we're tired of talking about, but it's not going away.
Mike Pereira.
I'm one of them. I will never not be one of them. And I hate that they just get abused.
The refs are never an excuse, and I'll probably get fined for saying this, but it's pretty bad today.
Baker, you threw three picks. The Browns turned the ball over four times. Can you accept some responsibility here? Why do we have to always seem to pin this on the referees or the league?
I mean, that is a massive call in this game.
I told you these guys were on our side.
It bothers me because when they make mistakes or they get crucified for really tough calls that turn out to be wrong like last night, I hurt for them.
Hello and welcome everybody to another edition of the Referee Pittman Show. As always, we'll be taking questions and talking football with NFL referee Bill Pittman.
Got a question about the ref's brain. I was just curious, what's in your head, you know, since there's no brain? I mean, is it empty or is it filled with, say, human excrement?
Okay, let's take some calls.
Hi, ref. When you're caught and banned from pro football, what do you plan to do for a living?
Well, I don't know what I'd be caught for, but when I retire, I plan to spend more time with my children.
Oh, and will you teach them deception and chicanery?
Nope, I won't.
Okay.
It's actually ruining the game.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkins Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
So much sadness and pessimism from Mike Pereira yesterday.
I'm one of them.
You brought the reel, though.
I hurt.
Pain.
Where did you find those skits where they were making fun of refs? What's in that brain of yours?
That's one of our favorites around here. Brendan and I used to quote that all the time. That's John Goodman back in 1989 hosting Saturday Night Live. And they,
okay.
And they do like a Mike Ditka show sort of thing, but with the referee.
Oh,
and it's
cool.
Just all the terrible things the studio audience is asking him, like if there was any history of mental illness in your family, you know, what is it like to have no soul? You know, Mike Myers standing up and asking, what game were you officiating if you weren't doing the one you were at? Stuff like that. It's a classic skit.
Good stuff.
And a deep cut. This hour on The Score brought to you by Seattle Sutton. So, Mac, I don't know if you saw these two texts, but you were talking. I don't remember what you were saying earlier that made you feel old. I think it was off the air. Brian Cox's kid, maybe.
That was yesterday during a break when we were talking. You and I were, because when Danny and I aren't actually talking sports, we're still talking sports.
Sometimes, yeah.
The Panthers put Kawan Short, the pride and joy of East Chicago, Indiana, a Purdue Boilermaker, on IR, a defensive lineman, and signed Brian Cox Jr., to fill the roster spot a couple weeks ago. I don't know how he's played. I didn't think it was significant enough of a topic to ask Ron yesterday, so I didn't ask him. But
no,
yeah, that made me feel old.
So I'm just curious. I don't know what the basis of these two texters are. Obviously, we don't get biographical data on who texts the show, but back-to-back texts from different numbers. Please tweet out that video of the Dennis Green rant, suggesting that they maybe don't know where to find the video. And then the next one, who was the coach in that interview?
Yeah, I replied to that guy.
Do you think it's actually possible that
sure
there are
is.
Young members of our audience that don't know about the Dennis Green? You can crown them?
No question.
Really?
There are listeners, yes. Welcome to my world, dude.
13 years ago,
when
though.
When you guys talk about being in high school,
yeah,
in years in which I was well into this, it makes me realize, yeah, there are some people who were not consuming The Score or sports radio when Dennis Green was still alive, let alone coaching.
Yeah, but were you consuming sports? I mean, that Dennis Green rant was everywhere.
Well, let's not penalize a 21-year-old kid because he doesn't remember 13 years ago.
No, listen,
you and I probably dorkier. Most of us who work here are probably dorkier than most people in terms of what we remember.
Absolutely. That just had permeated the lexicon of the Chicago sports fan. I mean, everyone, oh, you want to crown him? Like, you know, you're playing a beer league softball game and like, oh, that team's undefeated. You want to crown them? Then crown your ass. Like that everyone was saying that.
And no, not Brian Cox, the actor. Brian Cox, the former Miami Dolphin, Chicago Bear, New York Jet. I think he stopped with the Jets after he was here.
Dolphin too, maybe?
Yeah, well, Dolphin originally, yeah, and the Bears. I was on the recruiting party for Dave Wanstead. I was with Brian and his agent the night before they met with the Bears. His agent lived in Griffith nearby where I was at Cliff Brady. And he said, hey, Brian's over. You want to meet him? You want to come help make your boy's case for the Bears? Because I was a member of, as a high-ranking officer in Lonnie's Army.
Yeah.
Coach, are you kidding me?
I said, sure. So I stopped by, and we emptied a big bottle of Captain Morgan. And I told him, I said, you own this town. You will own this town for the rest of your life if you just play as hard as you can and don't be a jag.
How did he take it?
Well, and he was a bit of a jag. I liked Brian. I liked him as a player. I liked him as a guy. But it wasn't a good fit here for some reason. I'm not sure what it was. But he and Wanstead did not. We'll ask Dave about it on Friday if you want. He and Dave did not see eye to eye. In fact, Brian's first game in a Bears uniform, he was right in Dave's face on Monday Night Football at Lambeau Field, screaming at him, not liking the way he was calling the defense.
Texter says, hey, come on, Parkins. You guys couldn't remember what Mitch was saying just a few weeks ago, whether it was after the Packers game or the Broncos game. Oh, I am guilty of having bad short-term memory, bad long-term memory. That thing was – the Dennis Green rant was turned into a beer commercial that was played on NFL games for like 4 years. Like that was everywhere.
I hope I check myself as often as I try to be mindful of recognizing, you know, that – a lot of our listeners are in their late teens, early 20s.
No question.
And don't assume that everybody remembers who was in the White Sox rotation when they had those four straight complete games 13, 14 years ago tonight.
I think that that's absolutely fair, and we should whiteboard a lot of things like that. That was one I just didn't think that needed a lot of whiteboarding.
For those of you who don't remember, Warrick Dunn, the former Tampa Bay Buccaneer and Atlanta Falcon, he is still buying homes for underprivileged families.
Yeah, you know, the
little bitty guy.
He was a little bitty guy and fun player to watch. You know, we don't talk enough about the positive stories sometimes, like in the human interest of sports, right? The stories of the guy who, you know, Sam Hurd or something like that. It's sexier, bigger headline,
sure,
easier to crack jokes about. But today there was a story in the Tampa Bay Times that with his partnership with his charity and Habitat for Humanity, Warrick Dunn placed the 173rd single parent family into a new home. And because of the partnerships that he's developed through his foundation, they get a home and it's fully furnished with, you know, all the appliances and furniture, and they partner with local grocery stores, and so the kitchen is fully stocked and $10,000 in grocery, and to like really help families, you know, jumpstart a life. And you know, there's amazing stories, if people don't know, like Deshaun Watson, when he was, oh man, I can't remember, somewhere between 8 and 12 years old, somewhere in that range, his family was placed in a home that Warrick Dunn helped them get. So he had bounced around from different homes and couch to couch and that sort of thing. So Deshaun Watson, his first like real foundational home was in a Habitat for Humanity house that Warrick Dunn provided him.
173 times.
Yep.
Think about that.
It's incredible.
God, I mean, I think I bought four houses all just for me, and my family. 173 families have had a domicile because of his humanity. That's great stuff. Let's get him on.
I would love to talk to Warrick Dunn.
Been many years since I have.
I've
kind of a quiet guy, but a thoughtful guy, and certainly worth. Yeah, well, I'd love to talk to Warrick Dunn.
And speaking of stories just of human interest around athletes, I don't know if you read it or not. It was going around today on the internet on ESPN.com. I tweeted it out. Mina Kimes, who I think is one of the most versatile sports media members going right now, she did a profile piece on DeAndre Hopkins and his relationship with his mother, the star receiver of the Texans, because she noticed a couple of years ago when the NFL finally acquiesced and allowed players to write messages on their cleats and have personalization for, like, my cause, my cleats, that his was basically like stop abuse, and it was four women. It's like silhouettes of women, one colored differently than the other three, because one in four women statistically are the victim of abuse in a relationship that they're in. And DeAndre Hopkins's mother was one of those women, and he was around it a lot when he was a kid, to the point where a man that was abusive to her was also in a relationship with another woman. She confronted him on that when she found out, and the other woman is serving a 20-year sentence in prison because she threw like acid basically on her face and chest, and she had all these like burns, and she lost vision. So she's been blind for, you know, since he was a little kid, and he witnessed all of this stuff, and the piece is gut-wrenching. And so his sisters take his mother to the game, and they sit in the front row behind the end zone. And so if he ever scores a touchdown at Houston Stadium in that end zone, he goes over there and gives his mom the ball. Like, they help her stand up and they give her the ball. And it's all about his relationship with his mother and what they overcame and his fight to end domestic violence. And it's just, it's gut-wrenching stuff.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
DeAndre Hopkins, one of the best, arguably the best receiver in football. And my guess is 99% of NFL fans didn't know 1% of that story before she brought it to light.
I didn't know anything about it.
It's just really impressive stuff. And I sometimes think that we don't really give full appreciation to, like, these are the 1% of the 1%ers financially.
Right.
And that's a lot what we focus on. And then their athletic talent, they're the 1% of the 1%. But so many of them use their platform for unbelievable good locally, nationally, internationally. And we should talk about it a little bit more.
Well, and I'm glad we did. We led the 5 o'clock power hour with it today. No nonsense. No Jerome Boger coming out party from the Cardinals game on Monday Night Football in 06. No chortles. Just pats on the back for people who deserve it.
They absolutely do.
And some empathy.
Yeah. A little bit of empathy, but I highly recommend reading that Mina Kimes piece.
I will.
On DeAndre Hopkins. It was very powerful.
And go ahead.
No.
Finish up.
Well, I was just gonna say, as long as we're throwing bouquets, our old colleague who we still see around here every now and again, it's finally official. Congratulations to Jason Goff. Great hire by Kevin Cross at NBC Sports Chicago. Jason will be doing pre and post for Bulls games on television. Jason has been grinding since he left here and doing a lot of jobs, and he added another one and a very high-profile one that he will absolutely crush.
It's a great hire for NBC Sports Chicago, and it's a great post for Jason. He loves the NBA. He loves basketball. He's very good at it, and I'm delighted to see him get an opportunity to do that. No question. And I will watch. I'm giving the Bulls an open mind this year. I think they deserve that.
Yeah, Thomas Satoransky announced as the starter at point guard today officially by Jim Boylan. No surprise there. Everyone knew it was coming.
Clean slate. Don't like a lot of what they've done, but this ain't about that. This is like we were talking about with Mitch Trubisky being my 12-year-old when he was autistic in 12. you got what you got. They got Jim Boylan. He's the coach. Let's see what he does this time through.
Yeah, and I think that they will play a much more entertaining and competitive brand of basketball, even if it still comes in a playoffless season. I don't expect them to make the playoffs, but they've had some of, if not the worst point guard play in the entire league the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And so now Lowry and LaVine and the talent and Otto Porter, the talent on the team, they're going to have competent point guards. And in this NBA, where it's akin to young quarterbacking in the NFL, where it's like, oh man, there's a lot of young, talented quarterbacks, and it's easier than ever to play quarterback because the rules make it more wide open. It's very similar to the NBA. It's a perimeter game.
Mm-hmm.
It's more wide open. It's fast-paced. And if you don't have good point guards, you can't keep up with the offense in the modern NBA.
When's the opener?
The 23rd?
My DVR is recording all of the preseason games. I really don't need to sit down with those. But
no, it's so yeah, yeah. On the road at Charlotte, the 23rd, home opener the 26th.
Home opener against the Raptors on the 26th.
Yeah.
Saturday night.
So, yeah, 1 week from today in Charlotte for the road opener. But, yeah, you know, 35 wins, something around there is what I expect from the Bulls. But hoping for more, obviously. But, yeah, I don't think 35 gets them into the playoffs. But 41 would. 41 probably gets you in the East.
You go ahead and bet on it if you'd like to. I'm not going anywhere near it this year.
You're not going to touch it?
Jason Goff, not the only guy we know with a new gig. Joe Maddon has a new gig, Danny Parkins.
That's true. 3 years, you were wondering about his salary. 3 years between $12 and $15 million, so $4 to $5 million a year. He's the new manager of the Angels, but only on a three-year deal.
There's no angel.
He is an angel now.
He's
Mike Trout
walking into a team that is conducting its own investigation right now on opioid problems. I am surprised it's taken this long for this to emerge on a professional sports team.
Yeah, you know what? You and I haven't talked about that yet. Did you read the details?
I hate to be that guy. I told you so. Yeah. I think it was last baseball season. We were in a transition with Bernstein. I did read the details. With Bernstein and McKnight. And we were talking about how baseball players have changed. They take so much better care of themselves than they used to. They don't party like they used to. These guys are all fit. And I said, hold on. I have all the faith in the human race to continue to be the human race. There are going to be guys. When you get 25 guys together, there are going to be addiction issues in every clubhouse in baseball. And opioids are not a baseball. It's not. Someone texted earlier today, Joe's got a crisis. The Angels have an opioid crisis. America has an opioid crisis.
There is no question about it. And I remember talking about it when Jose Fernandez died, the unbelievably talented young phenom pitcher for the Marlins, when he crashed his boat towards the end of the season. And the toxicology report showed that he had cocaine in his system. And, you know, cocaine goes out of your system in 24 hours. It's very quick. And he still had another start like 2 days later. And everyone was so surprised. I was like, no, do not be surprised.
Don't be surprised. Next day, be surprised. 2 days, no problem.
Young, rich, famous athletes partying, blowing off steam, high-pressured job, all that sort of thing. They're, of course, going to find ways to do that, and the opioid crisis is a crisis, like you said, in America, so it's a crisis in everywhere else, but that why the Angel story in particular is going to be problematic for them is club employee with his own opioid problem was the one dispensing it to the players.
Sure.
And he gave investigators five names, 25 guys on an active roster, right there, 20% of your team getting illegal pain pills from a director of communications.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That is going to be a massive problem for them, and it'll probably launch some sort of investigation within baseball, but it, of course, should be in any sport that has access to those pain pills, which is all of them.
When he was with the Red Sox, Terry Francona was transparent about his fondness for the little yellow canaries. We're so clever. We opioid addicts, we come up with all kinds of really cool names for our favorite little things. Sean Payton had an issue with the Saints. He was in the medicine cabinet, got caught. This is everywhere. You only know about it. Remember when Tyler Skaggs died, we went to a break and we wouldn't do this on the air, but we went to a break and I said, my bet's heroin. I was close. There's very rare, it happens, but rarely does a finely tuned professional athlete drop dead at the age of 26 or 27. There usually is something going. I'm going to bet, more often than not, that it's drugs. Most specifically, heroin, which is an opioid. He didn't have heroin in his system, but he had pretty much everything else.
Well, he had fentanyl, which is the knockoff version of the of Oxycontin, and it's the party version, right? I mean, that was part of that was what was in Prince's toxicology report. And Mac Miller's toxicology report. So if there are opioid overdoses of the rich and famous, it's often involving fentanyl historically. And yeah, that was what happened to Tyler Skaggs. But yes, it is a problem in every industry in this country, rich, poor.
Yeah.
And
I'm shocked it's taken this long for it to hit baseball where we know about it. There's not a if you don't think – Or I should say, if you think your team doesn't have a guy on it with an addiction or alcohol problem,
well,
you're delusional.
Well, yeah, and
you're
then,
living in fantasy land.
And a texter makes the correct observation. I'm shocked it hasn't become a big thing in the NFL. Because in the baseball landscape, there's obviously pain, right? You're traveling all the time, chronic pain, you're an athlete and all
sure.
that. But the sport isn't inherent to it in the same way, right? Arm, shoulder pain is not the same as colliding with 300-pound behemoths, you know, for 40 plays a game when you're a lineman or a running back or that sort of thing. Like, football dispenses pain in a way where those things get prescribed, then
yes.
you get hooked. And so, yeah, my guess is that that is a huge problem in the NFL that the majority of the public and the league just is either unaware of or keeping their head in the sand on. What do you like to say? Leave them laughing?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to leave them hungry in a few minutes. We're getting near dinner time, already past dinner time for a lot of guys my age. They're already getting ready for naps, getting ready to go to bed. This is the simplest thing. I'm going to give you a recipe in just a little bit. You don't need to write anything down. There's like three ingredients, and you're going to thank me on Sunday if you choose to do this. You can start it at 6 a.m. It'll be ready in time for the Bears game at 3:25, and after about 30 minutes of work, you got nothing left to do other than wait.
All right, you give the recipe, and then we're also going to play you some audio that you missed that allows us to update it on the sports story. It is some of the funniest audio I've ever heard. It's Mac and Parkins on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's your genre of food? If that
I like food.
Food of the genre of foods.
Food is good.
Who said that? That's not Kelly Krull. Is that Kelly, my girl Kelly Krull from NBC Sports Chicago? And she was interviewing who?
Kobe White.
Kobe White, Bulls.
I remember
he's
him.
Not the starting point guard. You play a little shooting guard to start the season.
Genre of food.
Speaking of food.
Pizza. Southside style, Danny.
That's right. Connie's Pizza, 2373 South Archer. That's where you can see Hub and Manly and Crute's pregame and Hub and Big Cat postgame. And you mentioned the Saints game. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing. Hey, when we talked to Olin Friday, I want you to ask him the same about pizza, what you asked him about Thanksgiving last year on Wednesday.
What's on your plate?
What's on your Thanksgiving Day plate, Olin? Well, they got turkey and stuff. Ask him what might be on his pizza Sunday.
I just didn't know. You know, he's Hawaiian. I don't know if he had anything.
I got mushrooms.
All right.
Trey
Talk
Burton.
To Olin Krutz.
Happy Thanksgiving. Oh, how you doing, man?
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys, for sure. Watch football all day and eat as much food as I can.
What's the paint us a picture. What's the ideal Olin Krutz plate?
So I'll go with turkey and gravy, right, like everybody else.
I get the same thing.
And
what a dumbass
Olin's
question.
Just as American as you or I.
What a stupid question.
As soon as I asked it.
You think pineapple? Gotta have some pineapple in there, right, Olin?
As soon as I asked that, I hated myself for it, but then I really hated myself because I gave him I get the same thing. Like, I was like snarky to his answer,
as if
I set him up for any other answer possible.
He did throw you a bone. He was like, there's rice, too. And I go, how exotic, rice?
Wow, unbelievable. Yeah, not my finest moment. Give me something. On Sunday, come out to Connie's Pizza in Chicago for the Bears pre- and post-game shows. Enjoy 50-cent wings, specially priced craft beers, and listen to Hub, Pat, Olin from noon until kickoff, followed by Hub and James Big Cat Williams for 2 hours after the game.
How did you access that soundbite so quickly? Is that like
he's talented?
That's one of the benefits of the new system. I can just type in
anything that you've saved.
Olin Thanksgiving, yeah, and it's
okay.
In there. Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's impressive, right?
Technology, I think it's here to stay.
That one helps because that was one I made sure I had for the anniversary show. We had our one-year anniversary show. That was one of our finer moments, so you got to have that.
The anniversary-ish show.
Yeah. That's right, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, week here.
53rd week on the air, something like that. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, and Illinois. Season tickets to see Chicago. Chicago's Big Ten team on sale at nusports.com. All right, food man, you got Mr. Shane's Meat here.
Yes.
Of Instagram fame. Follow Shane's Meat.
This is my favorite thing to do in the crock pot, also known as the slow cooker. I call it a crock pot. That's what it says on it. Crock pot. The 6-quart crock pot, preferably in this case.
Mine has a Bears logo on it.
We have one of those too. Yeah. Thanks. You have most of this stuff already in your cupboards. You need very little stuff for this. You got salt and pepper and vegetable oil at home. Okay, there's a real good start. You're halfway home already. Wherever you get your best meat, go buy your favorite meat market, or you could even just go to a grocer, any chain grocery store, and get yourself 4 to 6 pounds of country ribs. You can use St. Louis ribs if you want to. You can use a mix if you want to, but I would go with country pork ribs. Slice them into individual pieces, salt and pepper them, get them, as you always should do with any meat or any fish, get it to room temperature, let it sit out for a good hour and a half, maybe even 2 hours. Some people think, well, it's going to spoil. It's botulism. I don't want. No, it's going to be fine. Let it get to room with salt and pepper, and then you brown your ribs. Then when you brown them, probably 4 or 5 minutes aside to your desired brownness, put them in the crock pot, 2 pounds of sauerkraut, 1 big Granny Smith apple sliced in quarters, quarter your green apple, and that's pretty much it. If you want, you can add little potatoes, little red ones. I like the little red ones, but we didn't have enough room on Saturday at Cottage because I had 6 pounds of ribs in there. I can't have this. Get yourself some chicken stock, too, to give it a little bit of a broth. Let it just sit for 8 hours, and you will be amazed. It is fork tender. If you do go with the country ribs, be careful because if you cook them for more than 8 hours, the bones begin to fragment into little tiny pieces. You got to be very careful. You don't get any of those little pieces, but it is absolutely to die for. We came in after 8 hours on the water in temperatures in the upper 20s, low 30s. I don't know if it ever got above freezing. Saturday up in Northwest Ontario, it was snowing, it was icy. We all get back to the cabin, and as soon as you open the cabin door, it's warm inside, and you are greeted by this waft of pork and sauerkraut. All four of us strip down to our base layer stuff, get all of our rain gear off, sitting there in our base layer, which is basically long underwear, eating pork and sauerkraut. And it you will love this. I promise you, you will do it again, and you'll do it again very soon.
All right, Shane, what's your critique of the recipe and the process?
I don't really have a critique. I'm just anti-crock pot, and I know that kind of makes me sound like an ass. But I don't know. It's just, I just feel like a douche saying it.
Feel like a bag saying it.
Yeah, I feel like a bag.
And he's in management.
It. Yeah, that's the first thing I thought of before hitting the actual dump button.
I couldn't remember which one it was that you couldn't say. Well, no, you could say bag. I feel like a bag saying it. It's just, it's too easy, but I get it. I get the set it and forget it. I just think that in a Dutch oven, cast iron, you can develop more flavors, but that's just me being an ass.
Okay, I would accept that. I like cast iron too.
It's just the way I roll without the crock pot. But it sounds phenomenal.
Yeah,
and I am not the standard of critique here. You know,
if you like pork and if you like sauerkraut, you're gonna. Some people like to add onion to it. This is not and I love onions. Any way you want to do an onion, I'm in on it. But I prefer it sauerkraut, maybe a few small potatoes, and that apple. That's all you need. It's just absolutely amazing.
Now, do you add your apple at the beginning?
Yes. Okay. The apple, all yes. Right. You have to get it in there the entire run to get its sweetness. And if you like your sauerkraut crunchy, save a little bit of it maybe for the last 20 minutes of your cook. So you've got, because it gets a little thinned out after 8 hours. You're going to want to give it at least 6.
I think, apple doesn't get too mushy for you for the full 8
yeah,
hours?
Oh, yeah, it's all mushed okay, up, sure. Right. It basically liquefies in the pan, kind of like Pauly when he was slicing the garlic when he was in the joint in Goodfellas.
Very good system.
It's a very good system. It liquefies in the pan. He grilled a good steak.
If you came in halfway through that recipe and you have the new radio.com app, you can just rewind it. How about that? The new feature on the radio.com app, it's Rewind, pause and rewind live radio. And for the first time ever in local broadcast radio, enjoy their favorite shows on demand, on the go, quickly and easily without having to set up a recording device or dig through the feed of unrelated content. WBBM and The Score are the first ones to launch this. And once you're connected to the station stream, you can push the rewind button to open up an hour-by-hour station schedule at the bottom of the screen, and you just have the ability to scroll through the hour push play. It is a really cool feature in the new and improved Radio.com app. So if you have Radio.com and you haven't updated it on your phone or tablet or however you listen to The Score, update it now, and it's completely different.
I'm going to have to do that. Cook on low? Yes. Cook it on low. How much vegetable oil? This is just to brown your ribs. You don't put any vegetable oil in the crock pot. It's just to get your ribs brown. You don't want to throw them in a pan without any lubricant, if you will.
What is so when you brown the ribs, what is that? Exactly.
You get the oil very, very hot. You know, you can tell how, just take a tiny little piece, just pinch a little piece of fat or meat off of the ribs. And if you drop it in the oil and it doesn't immediately start to crackle and bubble, then your oil is not hot enough. Get your oil real hot. Put the ribs in about 4 minutes aside, I think. On high heat, that's about all you need.
Biggest mistake, too, Mac, I think people make is putting their oil in a cold pan and letting it come up to temperature. Get your pan piping hot and then put the oil in there. Otherwise, you're burning the oil off completely, and it's going to leave a very bitter taste on your ribs.
How about that for a tip? Shane's Meats on Twitter.
And Instagram.
He's everywhere.
Now, you know what? I like crock pots.
You've been reading the replies,
I feel like such an ass for saying that I didn't like crock pots after you went through your favorite rib recipe. I feel like such a bad guy.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I know.
It's just very, it's
you're right.
Yeah. It's smug, it's elitist, it's condescending.
And I prefaced it with that.
You did. Self-aware, smug, elitist.
One of my favorite things that's happened since I came back to The Score 18 months or so ago was when Bernstein, in a transition we did with Dan and Connor, was talking about Shane's big purchase of a very old frying pan, a cast iron pan that had been seasoned. You remember this conversation?
Uh-huh.
And he says, Burns, he goes, oh, this pan's got like 50 years of seasoning in it. Can you imagine how much would you pay? And Parkin shakes his head, I wouldn't pay a dime. So disinterested in the entire conversation. Your facial expression to that discussion is like, okay, I see where this guy's culinary skill level is.
Yeah, different strokes, different
and
folks.
Interest level.
Yeah.
You'd love it, though. You like ribs?
Love ribs.
Yeah.
Come on. Who doesn't like ribs?
I'll bring a pot in one of these days.
That would be great.
I'll make that for the crew because it's one of the easiest things you can make, and there's almost nothing to it. You need a few ingredients. You need ribs, sauerkraut, and one green apple.
This hour on The Score brought to you by CarX. Save up to $200 on four tires installed at CarX. Some awesome baseball audio gets its final chapter. We'll play it for you coming up next, Mac, on The Score.
It's a 2-2 count on Mr. Swanson with 2 outs. And the 2-2 pitch from Cabrera. Here it is. Fastball swing and a miss. Struck him out. And your Cardinal team is National League Division champions, and they're going to go to the championship series. And they really celebrate on the field as they all gather around the mound. And we'll wait for Michael to get his first guest down on the field.
Oh, my.
That's Mac's first time hearing Mike Shannon's final call of the Cardinals winning the NLDS, and you should have seen his face. That is real.
As they all gather around.
Mac, you've been in broadcasting longer than me. Is having four us in a final call a good thing?
He is retiring after that, isn't he? Are they going to take his headset away?
I don't think they've announced
Mama,
it.
Don't take my microphone away. Paul Simon.
Thank you.
Did you know? You knew that song, Kodachrome? No, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
Mike Shannon.
We're doing a show together.
Yeah, we, man. I don't mean to be an ageist, but his fastball is not breaking 50. That's terrible. They just won.
Unairable.
They just won. That's terrible.
Well, so it obviously did not go as well for the Cardinals in the NLCS, getting swept out of there by the Nationals. But we have some Mike Shannon from some of the moments. I haven't heard this, so let's see how it goes. Let's hear the the yakety sacks play when the ball dropped between Colton Wong and Martinez.
Here's a pop-up that goes in the shallow right. Out goes the first baseman, the shortstop. The right fielder comes in and he lets it drop. Unbelievable. He lets it drop. They'll score an RBI base hit and in to score Soto. The Cardinals look ragged. There's no doubt about that.
Okay.
This is on the radio. This is for people who are in their cars and can't see the game. It drops in there. Unbelievable. The crowd's going nuts. Oh, man. That's, you know, there was a time before Harry Caray passed away where they should take his microphone away. But he never flirted with that level of, I can't do this anymore.
But don't worry, even if he's not describing the action on the field, Mike Shannon has pearls of baseball wisdom for you in-game.
Take a two-out walk.
For sure. Walks are kill you more than any other thing. Home runs are nice, but they are rally killers. And the pitch.
What?
It's a strike in at the knees.
We don't have time for the full story, but one of the many reasons the Kansas City Royals organization hates me is their hitting coach called home runs rally killers. And I said he should have been fired at his introductory press conference. It was
That's
baffling.
Remarkable.
It was an unbelievable.
That's terrible. Jeez.
Home runs are rally killers.
Do you realize the Washington Nationals and the NLCS accomplished something that very rarely gets done in these baseball playoffs? They never trailed in the series. Never once. You know, the last team to never have a lead in the, or not relinquish a lead, but never have a lead in an NLCS?
No.
The Cubs against the Mets in 2015. Never had a lead in the series.
Felt like the team that I should have guessed.
Yeah. I'm glad that you're not dancing on the Cardinals' grave. This is good. This is what happens when your team wins a championship. The bar is raised, and you don't celebrate those little stupid things like somebody else's dismissal. And I'm not saying you shouldn't enjoy it a little bit, but to you know, for if you hadn't won a championship, there might be a cause for celebration today. But you won the title in 2016. And I don't hear many Cubs fans saying, boy, it's great to see the Cardinals get knocked out. You got bigger issues right now.
Yeah, I'll always enjoy it and smirk at it, but it doesn't matter nearly as much as it used to. I'm sure Mike Shannon, though, because he's so good at final calls, I'm sure his final call of the elimination from the NLCS was a gem.
So it is Edmonds, the last Cardinal hope. And this crowd is going bonkers. They're running the noise meter right off of the hill.
What?
Tommy Edmonds, the last Cardinal hope. He stands in from the left side.
He's 0 for his last 16 going back to the final game in Atlanta in the division series.
He's walked once tonight. He has an RBI with a ground out. And the pitch to him. It's high, ball one.
Well, the Cardinals got things started with two outs in the eighth inning on a single by Ozuna. Then Hudson came in, hit Molina with a pitch. DeJong walked before the pinch hitter Carpenter grounded out, leaving three on.
Information.
Long look. The right-hander has his sign down. Here's the pitch. Swinging a foul out of play, and it's 1-1.
This is quite a build, Tanny.
You should open
anything to get a base runner.
Open your mouth.
Batsman, walk, base hit.
Speak.
Air. Crowd into it big time again. Hudson has his sign. Nobody on, two out, 1-1 pitch. Here it is. Swinging a high fly ball into center field. That's going to do it. Robles is there. He has it in the... Nationals win this one, and they are going to the World Series. We'll come back and have some more for you after this.
Bang!
back in 60 on BBM.
That audio brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Northwestern Football at Ryan Field this fall. The Wildcats are led by Big Ten Coach of the Year, Pat Fitzgerald. They've got Ohio State Friday, then Iowa, Purdue, and Minnesota in Big Ten play. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team on sale at NUSports.com.
John Rooney is a little bit Roger Radio, but give him the job and let him work by himself. Let him describe the game all by his lonesome and put Mike Shannon out to pasture.
God, that was awesome. That was awesome. Thank you to Teddy Greenstein and Rich Campbell. They were our guests today. Shane, thank you very much for stepping in for Nick Shepkowski.
Sorry for swearing.
It's not a problem. It was funny. Chris
it's
Tannehill.
Not all you should be sorry for.
Dissing the crock pot. Tanny makes us sound better than we are each and every day. He's the best in the business at what he does. Thank you, sir. For Dan McNeil, I'm Danny Parkins. We are McNeil and Parkins. Bears All Access coming up next.
Bears.
This is The Score.
And that'll basically be the show because we don't have much time for anything else.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.